The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. On behalf of Father Vanderwoody, Father McAllister, and Father Tuis, I want to wish you all a very blessed and happy Easter. For those of you who do not know who I am, it's probably very likely because I don't come here very often. My name is Father Magat, and I'm a priest of the diocese, but for several years now I've been teaching in seminary. And now I teach systematic theology, which is dogmatics, at St. Mary's Seminary up in Baltimore. And my mother is a member of this parish, and so Father Vanderwoody and I actually go back a few years. I knew Father Vanderwoody even before I was a seminarian, and then years later, for 3 years, we were actually assigned together. I was his assistant for 3 years when he was in Colonial Beach, Virginia, which is on the northern neck of the diocese. It's about 40 minutes south and east of Fredericksburg, so about 2 hours from here. So Father Vanderwood and I were speaking recently, and we agreed that this might be a good mass for me to take because seminary priests do not have weekend work, which is unusual for priests. So I like to moonlight from time to time at different parishes like this one. So again, happy Easter to all of you. It's often been said that experience is the best teacher. And how true we know this to be. Can you imagine trying to tell someone how to tie a shoelace or a necktie without being able to show them? How could you fully describe a baseball game or chocolate ice cream or a symphony to someone who had never experienced them? Mere words could not begin to convey the complete reality of the experience. Yes, experience is an important teacher in all areas. But one, death is the only part of life about which experience can teach us nothing. Although death is the one aspect of life about which we can be absolutely certain, other than taxes, of course, because death only comes to us once in our lives, it comes as a stranger. Nothing about our life on earth can really prepare us for the experience of death. Nobody can really know what it's like or what will happen when we die. Now, I know that there's a movie out and there have been books written in the recent past about people who have had what they call near-death experiences, who have been clinically dead and been brought back to life. But even if these claims are genuine and we can accept them as they are, those individuals would be the first to admit that they only saw a glimpse of the threshold of what is to come. The simple reality is that once we have truly experienced death, it's too late for us to profit from the experience. It's too late for us to learn any lessons from it. It's too late for us to tell anyone else about it. Experience alone, therefore, cannot teach us about death. And so all human ideas about death are speculations, because none of them can be based on true experience. So some people believe in reincarnation, some in nirvana, you're a Buddhist, some in nothingness, even extinction. But all these ideas have one thing in common. They're really based on opinions, on guesses, on hopes, and on wishes. They're really no more than straws in the wind, castles built on sand, because very simply, no one knows. No one can know. No one except the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate his resurrection from the dead. Just think about what that means. Like every other human being, he has experienced the one final reality of death, which we will all face. But he alone returned from death. So he alone can know what it's like. He alone knows what's on the other side. He alone knows what's waiting for each of us. If experience is the best teacher, only his experience can be our teacher about death. This is really the reason behind the absolute uniqueness of Catholicism and of Christianity in general. Christianity doesn't deny the elements of truth which appear in other religions and philosophies. We certainly don't deny the genuine goodness in the lives of many individuals of other religions. We respect them, and we know that in some way there's signs of the grace and love of God at work in all people. Yet the simple fact is that no other religion has been given to the world by someone who returned from death. Muhammad, Moses, Buddha, even Confucius, great teachers and wise men perhaps, but only men. Men who died. Men who really know no more about death than you or I. Perhaps they can tell us much about living, but they can tell us nothing about dying. But Jesus Christ can, and he does. So today, more than 1 billion people around the world are filled with joy, celebrating because Jesus lives, celebrating his return from death. Either we're celebrating the greatest event of human history, or a pathetic delusion. Either Jesus rose from the dead, or he didn't. There's no middle ground, no other way. In fact, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians was compelled to write, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain." If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if his body did not come out of that tomb, then he really is no different than Muhammad or Moses or Buddha. Then Christianity is just one more religious option among all the others in the world. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, objectively, factually, then everything he says, everything he teaches, everything he commands, everything he has instituted takes on immense significance and makes an ultimate claim on our lives. The resurrection of Jesus authenticates everything he said and did. So we ask, what actually happened in the tomb? Even the apostles, we learn from the Gospels, had difficulty making sense of this. What they experienced far exceeded anything they had ever known. Much of it really overwhelmed them. 2 weeks prior to the resurrection, Saints Peter, James, and John walked down from Mount Tabor after the transfiguration of Jesus, which is portrayed in artistic form in this sanctuary. Yet they still question what rising from the dead could mean. We know for certain that when we say resurrection, we do not mean simply that Jesus was resuscitated. Jesus resuscitated at least 3 persons we know of by name in the Gospels. Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow of Nain, and Lazarus. They were dead. Jesus said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." He came out alive. But what do all 3 of those persons have in common? Eventually, they would all die. They would. And they did. So resurrection is not simply resuscitation. We are actually talking now about an entirely new form of life, into a life form, a fourth dimension, if you like, that breaks into an entirely new dimension of living, no longer subject to the laws of death, a new form of life beyond our own that opens each of us to a new dimension of human existence. In other words, Jesus' resurrection shows that we too, who are faithful, can experience a new kind of future, a new possibility that transcends human suffering and death. That's hope and change you can really believe in. So we know from the Gospels that the resurrected Christ could pass through solid objects. He can suddenly appear and disappear from a place. His body is luminous and glorious. Yet he assured the apostles who put their very hands into his pierced side that he wasn't a ghost. He ate with the apostles and conversed with them as any man would. His body demonstrates and shows the marks of the passion, yet when those marks are touched, he feels no pain. This was very unexpected for the apostles, something that they were very slow to adjust to. They were slow to understand that a new world was breaking into our own. And that meant that if a new world was out there, so was a new mode of life. That is resurrection. Imagine what it was like for them to peer into a new world while remaining in their own. It was absolutely stunning to them. Eventually, they understood with greater clarity, and this is what the church testifies to today. So in the end, it means that our faith is not based on a set of human ideas or opinions or guesses or hopes. It rests on an objective truth, on a fact of history. The fact that nearly 2,000 years ago, a man who said he was God proved it by doing something no other human person had ever done. Because Jesus lives, for us, death is no longer mysterious, no longer unknown, and really, no longer mystifying. Christ's experience, his experience alone, is our best teacher, for he is risen. Alleluia.